221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl on the bot. Phone lines here are 221-1402, and we have a somewhat exciting show, I think, today. Mayor's here. We're going to be getting to him in a few minutes. First, Frosty, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Hey, doing great. And my soulmate here has something really special.
Well, a special tribute. Kelly, can we roll tape?
Yeah, sure. Here you go.
Well, I like being liked. I like approval. But I love a laugh. I mean, I want you to remember that I was a pushover and that I enjoyed life. You know, because when you weep from joy, that's pretty good weeping.
Yeah.
I don't like that business about he was funny, but also a you know, so I like to leave the part out. You know what I mean? I'd like to be known for funny, good guy, somebody who cared, who could talk to children and make them smile. This is as good as it gets. They like me, and I'm telling them a story and making them laugh. And, you know, I'm getting old, and maybe I'm hungry. That's why I'm weeping from time to time. But I'll give you all the weeping for nothing. You can have every tear that I, you know, that I feel. It's very strange what makes you cry.
Dom DeLuise passed away on Monday, and he was such a great joy. I just would like to, you know, send our prayers to his family. I had the great honor of working with Dom. For many of you may or may not know that I was with Dean Martin as one of the gold diggers for 8 years. And we did two television specials, Christmas specials. That was Dean's thing. And I got a chance to work a week with Dom in Africa, USA, and also down at SeaWorld, thank you. So there was Ruth Butsey and Dom DeLuise, and he had his wife and his two kids with him, and he's such a lovely man. His spirit will always be with us, and he'll always be remembered. And, of course, Dean had him on as a regular because he's so funny, so wonderful to be around. And talk about shtick. The man knew his shtick, and that's, of course, why Mel Brooks, of course, loved using him on a regular basis. So let's all take a moment, remember the good times. It's always sad when a legend falls, but they never really do fall hard because they are always in our minds and our memories of the good times.
This is Carl Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. When we get back, we have our mayor here, and we're going to be talking budgets and I'm sure a few other things. News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Before we get to the mayor, Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Linda. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Absolutely. Good morning.
We have a soldier here. He's a warrior that's on R&R. He's going out of here Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. He's flying back to Afghanistan, and he's done two tours in Iraq. Iraq. And he's on his third tour of Afghanistan. And anyone that would like to go out to the airport Saturday morning, I know it's early. He flies out at 7. And his name is Matthew McKenzie. And he's a true warrior and a true American.
Hey, Bill, has anybody talked to the Patriot Guard riders about this?
Not that I know of. I just trying to put this thing together, so I don't know anybody to call.
Okay. Hey, Bill, what I need you to do is call this number, 241-2682.
Just grab the pin. Could you repeat that?
241-2682.
682.
Right. That's my office phone. Leave a way to get in touch with you, and I'll get you together with the Patriot Guard Riders because this is what they do.
Yeah,
and the old guard riders, they all get together and they welcome and they escort our heroes around if they know about it. So we can pass this on to them.
Thanks so much. You guys have a wonderful day.
Thank you,
you
for calling.
You.
And tell our warrior that his safety and his service to our country is not forgotten. and that, you know, we love him for what he's done.
Thank you, guys.
You bet.
Bye.
You know what? That's like five or six tours in combat. So, and speaking of combat on a somewhat lesser level, because while there's a lot of hurt feelings and gnashing of the teeth and people being poked in the eye, hopefully there's no blood on the floor after it's finished. Mayor Rick
DeSetti,
that you can see. Yeah, probably some contusions.
Well, thank you for having me in. You know, actually, I don't think it's I don't think it's as bad as all that. I believe that most of the citizens and our the employees down at the city of Reading understand where the economy is, and it is what it is. And that's one of my simple sayings when we've been in our meetings. Well, we don't have a bag of money hidden away. Like there is some distrust of that. And maybe in years past there was money that might have been squirreled away someplace, but it's not that way anymore.
Well, how much is the reserve fund? We hear anything from 11% to 4%.
Well, currently, it started last fiscal year, okay, which runs June 1 to, let's see, May 31st to June 1. I think that's what it is. It started at about 11.3%, which that's of $72 million. And we've been burning through it between $350,000 to almost $400,000 a month since then.
Whoa.
Okay. We're now, we will finish this fiscal year at just over 6%.
Okay.
And so, you know, that number has been clearly transmitted to all people, all interested parties. It's been mentioned at several public meetings that we've had. And in several meetings that I've been in with our city manager, Kurt Starman, with our bargaining groups, that's how it's been transmitted. So people need to understand, you know, it's very imperative that we maintain that. You just saw today's paper what the governor's talking about doing right now. They're talking about suspending Prop 1A. Now, what that's going to mean to the city of Reading is that they're going to come in and they're going to take from the city of Reading's general fund somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe $1.3 to $1.8 million that they will, in fact, pay back with interest, but that's never happened. And so, you know, if we drain our general fund, we don't keep that reserve in there, it could be really devastating. That is truly a rainy day as well. And so, you know, we are where we are.
Well, the state has taken funds away from us before, the counties and the cities before.
Absolutely.
And now they're running out tactics where they're saying without these new propositions being passed, we're going to lay off 24,000 more firefighters and policemen. And the tactics are coming on now, and they're going to get a lot stronger here.
Well, it all comes back to they don't want to cut spending. And there are areas of spending that are not affordable at this time. And, you know, we're facing them here in our own way at the city. And this last round where we went through and we cut out $4.6 million of spending, and most of the publicity has been on the people that we've had to lay off.
But I'm sorry. Sitting in your seat, I'm sure right now as mayor, it's okay, you have to face the fire because right now you've got your feet in the fire. And it's probably not a pleasant time, of course, because what's happening is some people's security is being shifted. And so what, if any, could you say from this experience that's happening right now, give us the pros and cons, the positives and the negatives, and what you foresee in the next month?
But let me put you on hold till we have this break, so you got to cut a second here because this could be a long one. This is going to be also, we've got questions coming in, of course, for
and calls.
And calls for Turtle Bay and a few others. So this is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio here on Newstalk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on Newstalk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. They are open from 9:30 to 4 Monday through Friday. And by appointment, but if you need jewelry that needs to be reworked, quality work, excellent prices, the only full-time, on-premise watch repairman in Reading.
Mother's Day.
Okay, Mayor.
Yes. I think I understand the question anyway. You know, when I ran for this office, no one had a crystal ball. No one, you know, the city at that time in 2006 was projecting somewhere between 4 to 5% increases in sales tax revenue coming in. And in 2006, we started our slide down. And so it's been difficult. We've been making adjustments, though. We have been. The council has been, I think, in my estimation, has been responsible in the fact that we have been making a series of reductions over the last 18 to 20 months. You know, when I was running for office, one of my campaign slogans was that I was running to represent the 90,000 people that live in our city and not just the people that work at the city. And I know that that wasn't popular with a lot of people, but there was a consensus out in the community, and there still is, that our benefits, our retirement, everything had just become way beyond the norm in our community compared to what the citizens in this community also are receiving. You know, when the average working family, it just came out in Shasta County, Redding, is making about $52,000 a year. That's two people. And there's no benefits and no retirement and no health care. You know, our people are doing very, very well here. And, you know, those people, that family that I just described, are the ones who are paying for us. And we need to be sensitive to that.
Well, you know, I understand about people at risk. You know, they're getting paid X amount of dollars. But people at risk that, you know, for 20 years that make more money in retirement than they do in some cases than they are when they're making, or 30 years than they make on the job. And that doesn't happen, of course, all the time, but there's been instances where it's close. And I look at the military, people been in the military for 30 years on a, you know, same kind of thing, you know, tough life, you're putting your life on the line. Their benefits aren't as good as public servants.
Well, the military doesn't have lobbyists and union representatives going in and negotiating as a union. With the generals, the unions get people elected that provide them with those benefits and with those salaries and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm all for taking care of our people, especially those who go out and put their lives on the line for us. But, you know, too much is pushed away the quality of life we had. We had a young police officer get up and give us a very impassioned plea for no cuts here at our council meeting, and how he'd come here from Salinas and how it had gone bad down in Salinas when they started cutting. My answer was, is I really appreciate that. I want officers like that serving us in our community. But there's a value to be put on what's in Redding, too. You know, the quality of life in Redding isn't just that we have a very good police force and that we have firemen that respond. The value we have in Redding is the environment we live in, the ability to get out into God's country and to experience that, fewer people. And so, you know, I'd mentioned when I was in my private life business that when we would run ads for, I was in the technology world, run ads for, say, a network administrators, they were willing to get out of the Bay Area or Los Angeles by the droves for anywhere from 25 to 35% less than they were making down there. And so that's what the private sector, but we always have this, well, they're paying this down here and they're paying this. And that's how we've negotiated in the past. And, you know, I just don't quite agree with that. I think that we have a great place here. And if you're going to come and work here, it's a great thing to do. And, you know, there are just some things that need
Mayor,
to change.
Do you think that right now the union contracts are pretty much written in concrete? What concessions were you looking for?
Well, we actually weren't even okay. If you want to define a concession as something that you're taking away, Mr. Starman put it in a little softer way. We were asking for them to delay taking their cost of living increases, and so it's not actually reaching in your pocket, taking money out of your pocket and giving it back. It's just not putting any more into your pocket.
So
when the time comes,
come 1 January, when Social Security gives you a 3.2% cost of living increase, nobody in city government gets that. Would say that.
Would, right. You know, I mean, we have
various... How much of the savings would be on something like that?
I think that the total number, if all the groups would have agreed to doing this, was still going to only amount to about $1.4 million, and we were going to have to reduce 4.6.
Okay, so everybody gives up the cost of living. That's $1.6 million. So we just come up with another $3
million. In cuts, which we did. I mean, what we ended up doing was just cutting $4.6 million out of the budget.
Okay, there are some, I know there's going to be questions, like when I see like Stillwater, Stillwater that we seem to be putting a lot of money in, but I don't see anything coming back out of that. What's going on there?
Well, we're real close to having it finished. Okay, the first phase of it finished and ready for move in. I guess the term I think is what they refer to as shovel ready. Yesterday we had a meeting with Senator Feinstein's representative because she was a big supporter of that, and she helped us with some of the money up here on that.
Oh, that gives me a warm and fuzzy.
Well, the point is that we now will be able to tell people as of, I believe, 1st of August, here's the facility. It's all done. The environmental stuff's done. All you got to do is come in, give us your money for the lot, and you're ready to start building.
Great. We want to talk about incentives when we come back. And also, 221-1402 are our lines here. We have the mayor. If you got something that you want to get off your chest or ask the mayor, now's the time. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's, get that coffee you want. Get it at prices a lot lower than some of these specialty coffee places. And, of course, the finest tobacco emporium in the North State. Joe and Shelley, great Americans. Go down and visit them. Okay.
Our guest today is Mira Bassetti. And as we said before, the lines here are 221-1402 or 1-800-521-1989. Now's the time to give the mayor a call. We're in some times right now. Let's go to the phones.
John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda. How are you this morning?
Well, we're wonderful. Thank you.
Beautiful Northern California day.
Well, you know what? It's time. I'm on my bike today. So if y'all see a crazed individual running around on a black Harley, give me a break.
Have a blast out there. Enjoy the wind, Carl.
What can we do for you?
Well, I wanted to address something to Rick, if possible. Mayor Bassetti.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, John. Thank you.
Good. Listen, first of all, I wanted to address, Turtle Bay has come into these processes of the budgetary crisis repeatedly. And I know that you guys voted for the $100,000 reduction in their entitlement as opposed to the $31,000. I happen to agree with your figures. But I was wondering if some of the other nonprofits that the city contributes to have been looked at in regards to reducing the budget. I'd much rather see some of these things that we are adding money to support that aren't responsive to the citizens go by the wayside as opposed to police and fire. And I'm hoping that Mr. Starman's looking at these things, and if not, I'd sure like to see you guys direct your attention to some of the other nonprofits that you're supporting and get it taken care of.
Well, that's a good question, John, and yes, we have. We just started up a program that I think is very important in the community, and that's our Youth Action Council. And that gets a lot of kids in all the local high schools out doing something very positive in our community when there's always the complaints they aren't. And their budget's been cut by 75%. I think we're down to about maybe just, I think, the bare minimum of about $20,000 a year for them now. We did cut about $40,000 out of taking care of the security on Turtle Bay Bridge. And so I know that there was a comment before about that we didn't look at these items and we just kind of went in there and the city manager said, here's a list, cut them, and that's all we did. But the reality was is that there were many meetings upon meetings, both in private session when we couldn't discuss it in public, as well as meetings with each of the individual department heads at the city of Reading as we were going through looking for this $4.6 million. So contrary to what maybe you might have read, all those items that we did cut, John, that day yesterday on Tuesday morning, wasn't the first time we saw the list.
Well, I wasn't buying into that business that you guys hadn't debated these things. I know all of you were contentious enough with each other too. I am sure those meetings were fun.
Hey, does the city support Haven Humane?
Yeah, we have a contract. It's not a support. It's just a contract. The city used to have and run it. Hmm. Now it's an outsourced contract with them, so they're just like a subcontractor to us.
Okay, so we pay them.
We pay them to take care of the animals in our city.
Don't we have an animal control?
They do that. We had an animal control. We eliminated
that's
that.
That's all gone.
That's all gone. We don't pay overtime. We don't take benefits.
This is why there's so many fundraisers.
Yeah. Okay, well, this leads us to the next question: is what thought has been given to privatization of some of the city jobs? You know, people have brought up trash. There's city fleets that are being maintained and all this.
Well, there's always that discussion. I mean, I can't speak for the rest of the council. When I'm out in public or when I'm socializing and with different people, those topics come up. And, you know, right now, I mean, we didn't get to where we are in 2 days. Right. And we're not going to get everything fixed in 2 days. And so there's been a lot of different talk about privatization. And what areas are going to be, you know, those are going to be discussed probably. If the economy doesn't turn, we're going to have to be doing something else. I mean, what happened on Tuesday morning could very well just be a precursor. If in the 1st of June we get the next sales tax report from the state, you know, because it always lags about 2.5-3 months, and the first quarter of this year was terrible, which could very well be, we're not going to have money.
Yeah, you know, we've got an 11.8% unemployment rate, and I can't imagine that the tax revenues are going to go way up, because everybody I talk to, and we talk to a lot of people in all types of businesses, they're, you know, unless you're Trader Joe's and you just opened up, you know, everybody's kind of taking a hit.
Well, you know, to get back to your question there, though, I think that we have to look at the success of the library. That was a public-private venture there. The library is providing 60% more hours of operation. They're setting all kinds of records at the facility too, and that is a privatized. We've outsourced that.
Hey, let me correct myself. I was woefully wrong about the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate here in Shasta County, I think, is 16.9. So instead, I said 11.8 from someplace. I don't know where I got that from.
Well, at our budget meeting, you know, Mr. Starman brought up a current sales tax for local businesses here. It was actually national numbers, but for the companies that are represented here, a number of them, like Macy's and Walmart and Target and Costco, and the only one that had a plus by it was Walmart, and it was like a 1.4%.
Yeah.
And everything else was anywhere down to a negative 20% in sales.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine the first 3 months of this year being record-setting and everything, and I'm sure that we're going to have a negative number, and then we're going to be back looking at what are we going to do now.
Right. Now, let's go back to Stillwater, if you don't mind.
Certainly.
Stillwater, you say it's going to be shovel-ready pretty soon. Now, do we have any company at all, any business at all that says, hey, we want to build out here?
We actually have, and I can't tell you how close they are, but the list that I saw, there's about 4 or 5 companies that have shown interest.
Okay, when we say shown interest, does that mean that they've sent people out here or that they've gone? Oh, okay.
I believe a couple of them have actually had people come to visit and look. And a couple of them are fairly large.
One day while we were doing a live remote, a gentleman came, we won't mention any names, who moved to Redding from Southern California and brought his business here and loves it here. He likes to fish and ride his Harley and all that other great stuff that we love to do here. He had mentioned at one time when he did make this move that the city of Redding was making some incredible incentives, and that he had said, I wish that they were still doing these kinds of incentives. I wasn't here then. So what kind of is there a huge incentive program, and can we make it more palatable for those who would like to move here and do business?
Well, right now, I don't believe we have in stone anywhere, and it's large incentive deal. The whole premise behind the Stillwater is that it isn't just going to be shovel ready. All of your CEQA permits, a company that's going to come and build there is not going to have to do one thing with the federal or state governments, because the city of Redding has already done that, and it's been a master plan with everything. So all they're going to have to do is come in, start building, and plug into the power, plug into the water, and go. That in itself is a huge savings for them. And we're marketing the land, I believe, very competitive to other developments. The biggest issue we have is the regulation on businesses in the state of California.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Let's get serious about it. The state of California does not want you to start a business here. I mean, at least the way that they act at times.
If you're manufacturing, if you're building, if you're creating, I would say that's true. If you're in the transportation business, we have so many different trucking companies have left and gone over to Nevada and other, other states as well.
Every time you turn around, it's just another whack away at business and people trying to build wealth. Hey, this is Carl Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. We're going to take a break. We come back. We want to, let's go back to Stillwater, but I want to go back to Turtle Bay one more time before we let that one go. Join us after these messages.
Hey, welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show brought to you by New Image Studios, our photographers of choice. And guess what? They've got a Mother's Day special. Oh, boy, but if you're going to do it, you better get in there quickly. They still can get your pictures done by Mother's Day. And this is the time to get your special portrait to give to Mom. Just go to www.newimagestudios.net. Check it out on their blog.
They're at 2655 Park Marina Drive. Mayor, you better get down there and get those photos done.
You know, actually, during my campaign, we went down there and they did our pictures there.
They do great work.
Yes, they do.
Okay, hey, look, Turtle Bay. And Mike Warren was on the show here. And besides having to defend himself from various things, he mentioned that 5% of the budget from Turtle Bay comes from the city.
Well, you know, we get our reports from them and their financials, and so 5%, what would $350,000 represent? That's only 5%.
Well, that's, you know, that's, I may have misunderstood it.
I guess if it goes away, it won't be a problem.
But I'm saying if 5%, and then I see that, you know, we keep cutting that 10% out, $30,000. Now, first up front, let me say is Linda and I are supporters of Turtle Bay. We believe in what Turtle Bay does. But this is something that is really a contentious issue that people see that small cuts are going to Turtle Bay, and there's been nothing projected from it that says, that why don't we shut down Turtle Bay in January? I think I saw that someplace, or have it open at various times, a couple of days a week, shut down to save a lot of money, so we can save some of the money that goes into there.
Well, you know, there were some, Ms. Redmond came and made an impassioned plea as well, but she understood what the times we're in.
Right.
And I do appreciate that. And I met with members of their board that were lobbying very strenuously. When I ran for office, I said I'd like to see them weaned off. You know, again, nothing happens overnight. It takes a little time. And then there's always the adage that, well, there isn't a museum in the world that isn't subsidized. And, I'm sure that might be partially true. There's always partial truth to everything. But, you know, this is extraordinary times where we're in right now, and not positive. And so if we're looking at something that we could do temporarily even, to help out the community, kind of like what we're asking with our unions, you know, to temporarily set some things back. And so, you know, I know that there's people out there that just want us to cut everything and don't even be involved with Turtle Bay, and you know, I'm not sure if I'm ready to go that far at this point.
I don't believe in that, but I think that this is something that really we've got to look at completely out of the box on ways to save some money here. Jean, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, Rick, I had been to a meeting several weeks ago to address the RABA situation.
Yes, Jean.
And anyway, I'm talking about the colors of the bus over the convenience. And
yes.
Mary Stegall had said that in the end, that because you had spent 2 years looking into this situation, and she felt that they needed to go forward with the plan. And and I wish we could have had some more open discussion, because my thought was, if my husband and I had looked into building a house, and we had all of these plans, and then we lost our job, but we decided to go ahead with the plans anyway because we had spent 2 years on it. And that's the way I felt that the city had, and there was only one dissenting vote on that. And like I said, isn't there some issue with the buses that take our money? I know that they were using, they said, a stimulus package to money to pay for most of this. But my thought is, the stimulus package, we're still paying for that. I mean, people in government are there. Their job is to spend our money. And we need to cut way back on that.
Jean, you were right in what you said. Let me add one more word. Government is there to spend our money
wisely and as if it was their own budget money, not a just a pile of money.
I know it, and the figures get so big that they, you know, they're not even in the real world anymore.
Okay, Gene, thank you. Thank you very much for your phone call. Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break here. We got Jim, you're getting to you soon as we get back on the other side here. This is Carl Lindabad on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS. Waking up on the QMS News Talk 1400. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400, KQMS. Hey, Jim, good morning. We don't have a lot of time.
Good morning. I'm going to make it quick. You know, we cannot, as a city, we cannot afford to have two turtle bays. We cannot afford to have two Olympic-sized swimming pools and a number of other amenities. We cannot afford to have two airports. How much money and time and effort on city staff and so forth goes into supporting Benton Air Park, which has which was a great little airport up until about the 1950s, and when the city decided to allow residential development around it, in particular in 2001 when Caltrans chief Austin Wiswell came up here and spoke before the city council and recommended they not build in the crash zone. One of our city council members who's still on the council justified her vote, well, we need housing in Reading. Well, we don't need housing. Look at the situation. Even those houses have not sold yet. I'm talking about the development right off of Bonaventura. We have a parking lot up there for about 250 aircraft. That property is worth probably $70 million. And could be developed into something that would generate revenue for both the county and the city. You could develop that into a major shopping center like a Fred Meyer or Walmart. You would have more revenue. But because some of the high rollers in town have their aircraft parked up there and they donate to the politicians, you know, it is a sacred cow. How can we afford to have these two sacred cows? We're going to put $6 million into refurbishing the runway out here at Muni. We always have our hand out there, and the FAA and stimulus money is coming in, but we cannot afford to do it ourselves. We have to wait for that handout. And how many years will that handout be there? And now they're talking about extending the runway at Benton Air Park. They're going to go over the landfill to try to do that. How much time and effort and money went into the studies on that? We need to cut that loose and develop it into a higher use.
Okay, Jim. Hey, Jim, thank you very much for your call.
You're welcome.
Terry, you're up.
Yeah, I had a question for the mayor really quick.
Certainly. Go ahead, Terry.
And that is, I've been looking at the salaries here of the people who work for the city,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty astonishing. I've got the assistant city manager at $155,856, the city manager himself, $194,556, and the deputy city manager at $132,236. We've got 11.8 unemployment in this area, and we're looking at $500,000 between three guys. If you look at the utilities, that's pretty staggering, too. That's another $500,000 for three other guys. And this list goes on and on and on. It's amazing some of what we're paying these city officials with the economy being the way it is. It's astonishing to me.
Yeah, they are significantly higher than what you
There's
would say.
There's millions there. There's millions on this sheet I'm looking at that is that anyone could access by going to the city of Reading.
And that's why our payroll is our largest expense in our entire general fund.
Maybe you should remind
them. Out of line here.
Yeah, maybe you should remind them about what a great place it is to live here. You know, like you said about other people coming up here.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, and again, these are contracts that people have had, just like all of our unions. These are our unrepresented.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, to their credit, all of those people have all foregone any kind of COLAs here and have been now for the past year. And so, you know,
I mean, $194,000 is tough to live on, but, you know.
Yeah, no, and that's a common thing. But, you know, you can say the same thing in Shasta County if someone's making $75,000.
Well, but I'm not talking about the county. We're talking about the city.
Well, right? I mean, living within Shasta County. I'm sorry. Living within, not working for the county, working for the city in that regards. If you're living in Northern California right now on $75,000, you're living pretty well.
Now, does that take in all the people who are on assistance from the government? Does that take in everybody, or are you just taking in the working people?
I'm just using a general statement about what the meaning of $75,000 is living in our area.
Yeah, that wasn't my question, but...
You know, okay. Jim, you know, good points. We've got big salaries at a lot of this was negotiated during when times were good. So, and is there a way to offset this? Well, one of the things that we've been talking about this day is how do you save $4.6 million? You know, how much more money, you know, how much money could we save with Stillwater going away, or at least stopping what we've got on that? You know, good, how much money can we save? Or how can we bring more money into our city?
There you go.
What is being done? And we're out of time, essentially, but what is being done that we can, that our city is saying we are actively trying to get these businesses in, and we are willing to give these concessions?
Yeah, and you know, we just cut our Economic Development Corporation guy.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, but...
I see we cut the car washer. That was $11.48 an hour.
Yeah.
I'm glad we cut that one.
Yeah, Gary, thanks a lot for your phone call.
Okay. Hey, and also happy birthday, Kelly.
Our producer. He's like 18.
And also our grandson's happy birthday.
That's
hey,
right.
Rick, we need to have you come back. You can see we just always run out of time. We're just barely getting the juice out of the orange.
There's so many other questions on this that, you know, where do we go? Here's a lot of things we can do. So, we need to get a couple others on. But, hey, tomorrow we're going to have, on our show, we're going to have a guy named Dave Barr who's going to be on here. We're going to be talking about that. Plus,
Angie,
and a man who has redone himself just through exercise. This is Carl Lindabad on Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?